I thought, Chintz, we might just take a little look at the sides that have missed out this year and what the future looks like going into 2023. I might get you to both sort of chime in here, Sando. North yep. Melbourne have just had a horror year. The change of coach, of course, with David Noble departing, and if you believe everyone in the industry, we are maybe potentially a week away from a decision regarding their next senior coach, and all eyes pointing to Alistair Clarkson. Until that happens, we'll continue to speculate and pontificate. But for the Roos, I mean, so much could depend on what they do now with this next senior coaching appointment.
Yeah, you're right. And there is a bit of a theme in the sides that are going to miss the eight this year, and it's all around offence, as crazy as that sounds. But North Melbourne are the last ranked side, so they just can't score. That's been the biggest challenge this year. 17th in inside 50s, 18th dead last in inside 50s. I mentioned their issues with scoring. They're ranked 18th in that, and they just can't get their hands on the footy, unfortunately. Ranked 17th in disposals. That's been their biggest challenge.
You're right, Sam. And look, they also need a little bit of help for Larky, as we know. Yep. Larky and Zerha. They've normally been playing that resting ruckman, whether it was Goldstein early in the piece when he was down there. Now he's reclaimed that ruck spot, and Coleman Jones has come in as well. But they just need another one, maybe two forwards to add to that, you know, to build a potent forward line. And, you know, I think the last three or four weeks have been really good. Yep. I mean, like yesterday against Adelaide, they were really, really good for three and a half quarters. And great to see Cunnington back. It was a fantastic story to see that. And clearly having him out, you know, and when I remember when we were starting up here at the Giants, when you had your senior players out, the ones that could go the distance, and they were out, then you really dropped away really easily. And I, there's no doubt I've sensed that with the Kangaroos this year, but yesterday was a classic example of having him in the side. They took Adelaide to three and a half quarters. So there's some really, really good young kids coming through, and, you know, hopefully once they announce that coach, they add through the draft and maybe through the trade period, especially centre forward.
Leon, if I can just quickly on that. So if they do go Alistair Clarkson and Alistair accepts the job, you've been in the inner sanctum with Alistair at the Hawks. Do you firmly believe there is another great coaching stint in Alistair? I mean, obviously a year off has been, you know, great for him. 17 years driving the bus, tough gig that you both have experienced. He's had time to refresh. I mean, we know the Messiah coach hasn't always worked in the past for clubs, but do you think a second time around Alistair Clarkson as a coach could make a great fist of it?
Oh, look, no doubt. Look, he's that driven and it's not funny. And just talking to him recently in the last couple of weeks about all his research. I mean, he's doing research on both the clubs. He's doing, you know, the Giants and the Kangaroos. And clearly the speculation is that it's more heading down the Kangaroos' path. And that might be in the next week, as you said before, Brett, that we might find out. But once he gets his coach's hat back on, which he clearly has after a year out, he'll go 100 miles an hour, and he'll build his team. He'll add to that. He'll look at what's there at North Melbourne and say, yep, there's some really good positions already filled staff-wise, and he'll add some value with some people that he already knows in the industry when he starts. So, look, absolutely. And people always judge coaches or judge players when they win premierships. Mm. Rightly or wrongly, do you say, oh, well, was Clarkson in the right spot at the right time because he had Rioli and Franklin and Ruffhead and Hodge and Mitchell? But at the end of the day, he helped build that footy club. He went to the draft, they made really good choices, and good choices led them to where they are at. But equally, they keep reinventing themselves year after year. You know, they would they'd go from, you know, a high-scoring game to a keepings-off game, and, you know, when they were really tough inside, contested stoppage side. So he could adjust on the run year by year, and you know, that's led to four premierships. So you can't go wrong having the best coach in the land come to your football club. If the Kangaroos do land him, it's a wonderful, wonderful decision. And that might take a few years. And I think, like Hawthorn, in their first two or three years, it took them a few years to just get into rhythm and become this side that you could regularly rely on. And the Kangaroos, regardless of who the coach is still going to take two or three years, because they need to add some talent. They need to go to the trade period and bring in some more talent as well. But under his tuition, I think they'll be absolutely led in the right direction.
All that ahead of us over the next week or two. Sando, West Coast.
Disappointing, obviously. They've had two wins for the season. Ironically, they defeated Collingwood earlier in the season, one of Collingwood's losses.
In Melbourne.
They also defeated the Bombers, but They just couldn't get anything going at all this year. Really high-marking team, but ranked 17th in offence. And a number which will really be disappointing for them, with which has typically been a strength, has been their numbers around clearances. They're ranked in the bottom three or four for clearance numbers. And even when we saw last night across there in the derby, you know, Darcy for Fremantle absolutely dominated.
57 hitouts.
Yeah, absolutely dominated Ngatanui. So they just couldn't get any continuity, you know, with a side which we always love their offence, you know, with Kennedy and Darling and Liam Ryan and Rioli, they just always would score, it seems. But, yeah, this year they just couldn't, a little bit like North Melbourne, they just couldn't get any offence going, and it's going to be an interesting off-season for the West Coast Eagles in what they do with their squad and how things look.
Leon, can they bounce?
Oh, look, I think they're in for a rebuild.
Yep.
I mean, that's just looking from afar and probably not watching them as much as some. I think, I mean, they've had some challenges here. I mean, COVID hit at the wrong time for them. I think it was January, February when it absolutely went through their whole place and they missed some real crucial pre-season. But equally, they've had some ageing superstars, and I want to be careful of that because they have been some super players that probably just haven't been able to put games together because of injuries, and they're coming towards the back end of their career. And we've seen one of them, Josh Kennedy, bow out, you know, a week or so ago, and he was such a wonderful player. So there's no doubt, you know, they'll have to go to the draft and bring in some kids with the picks that they have, and equally just chip away at it. I mean, I don't expect it, you know, a five-year rebuild, but I just think there'll be a little bit of pain there for the next couple of years, just adding some talent to there before they start rising back up the ladder.
Sando, you saw the Giants firsthand yesterday. Obviously, much intrigue about who they're going to appoint as their coach as well and what lies ahead.
Yeah, well, Leon's probably best equipped to answer the questions about what next for the Giants. When you look at their squad, I mean, I still really love probably their 10 best players. You know, Kelly, Taranto, Coniglio, the Greens, Toby Green and Tom Green. Isaac Cumming I really like. Whitfield, Perryman, Ward, Hopper, Himmelberg. There's still that top 10 that are I guess, the nucleus of that side. But when you look at, I guess, you know, Hogan kicks 30 goals for the season, which he's their leading goal kicker. I don't know, Leon, where do you see the improvements going to come for the Giants moving forward?
Yeah, look, I see some similarities to the Collingwood scenario we're talking about earlier on. You know, Collingwood have popped and, you know, they, you know, for whatever reason, a change of personnel, a change of coach or some bad luck. What people don't understand is that sometimes you can have really bad pre-seasons and hasn't flowed, or you have the wrong players out at the wrong time.
Yep.
You know, you can't ever use that as an excuse, but I see the Giants popping pretty quickly because of what Sando just said. There's lots of talent there. I think their back line is set for a long time. They've got some young key defenders that are going to be around for a long time, plus running backs. So it's not a line they have to address. They clearly have to look at the ruck situation and, you know, whether they think that Flynn or Bruce or Briggs can take them to the promised land. And there's been glimpses. When they're up and running, there's been some glimpses from those guys. Their midfield inside, no problem. Having Kelly and Whitfield sort of play on the outside the past probably couple of weeks looks really, really promising. It's their forward area of the ground where they really need some attention. And Sando, you sort of pointed out, Hogan's their leading goal kicker.
Yep.
Clearly Toby Green's the superstar, but they need to probably add some value there because, you know, with Cameron gone and Lobb gone and Finlinson gone and Patton gone over the last 3 or 4 years, that replacements of young forwards is an area that probably has probably let them down a little bit. So if they can add that in the draft or the trade period, I can really see them, you know, popping quite quickly in the next year or so.
We're building up to Sydney and Collingwood here on AFL Nation. The laid out for Collingwood, Jordan DeGoey, if you're just turning on the radio, and Trent Bianco will be in, bounce down just over half an hour away. The Bombers, so much intrigue around Essendon, what they stand for, trying to get a read on Essendon and just who they are as a footy club right now.
Yeah, well, the blowtorch was turned right up midway through the season around defensive transition. Their inability to be able to run with method defensively when it really mattered. I guess that was the one point that sort of stood out for them. But they do play a high possession game, a high mark game there. But then they're the third most clanger side for the year. So it's matching up that ability to be able to play a game style you want with the squad that you've got at your disposal as well. But it sort of feels like that's their biggest area of improvement in the summer, will be that ability to sort of change their defensive scheme. And we've seen some improvements in that in the back half of the season, but it's been a poor tackling year, ranked last in tackles, a poor clearance year, ranked third last in clearances. So, yeah, it's their midfield getting together in the off-season and making sure that defensive transition and contest is probably the number one focus for 2023 and beyond.
Oh, I'd absolutely agree. I think Sando summed it up. I mean, and that has to be consistent. I mean, everyone's looking for consistency when you're in a footy club. And, you know, I watched Essendon against the Giants last week and they were off the ball. But equally before that, they got beaten by a kick after siren against Collingwood. So there's some real good stuff there. And there's some enormous talent in their spine coming through. You know, we spoke about that. And so they've just got to make sure that that consistency of defence is there over and over again. And I think bringing in young Caldwell over the last couple of years and addressing their inside contested ball game is heading in the right direction. But it has to be over and over and over again, and that's the greatest challenge.